The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Let's go! It's here, Bear. It's finally here. Plenty of questions have been asked. When's the pod? Are you doing a March Madness pod? I'm really contemplating whether I need to have one of those pinned tweets of when our next pod's going to be.
It's a good idea, because I think I still have the Clemson-Alabama pod is pinned up there. National championship preview.
So that's why everybody's asking. It's
exactly.
Your fault.
It is my fault. I get blamed for everything. It's good.
How we doing? All right?
I'm fired up.
Fired up to see as much as you as I have been with the Daily Wager. Hope
Absolutely.
Everybody's checking that out. Been a
totally.
Ton of fun with Doug. ESPN News, 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, if you guys haven't had a chance. If you want your daily itch, Jordan Schultz, those guys are killing it. Preston Johnson killing it on the NBA. Just a lot of fun. I know people just want to keep score about picks, but the information those guys provide is totally different from what I think.
Right. What I do.
I know. And, you know, you have your own, you know, way about, but it's just good, man. We're just having fun talking games, and everybody's just looking for that edge, as Uncle
Exactly.
Brett would say.
Exactly. As long as someone's winning and someone's learning, that's mainly the – and like you said, you and I mean, I'll use some of the analytics and some of the numbers when it comes to some of the adjusted efficiencies mm-hmm. and individual unit matchups against each other. But between Preston and some other guys, they sure. dig deep into the numbers.
Awesome.
Often at times in ways that even I can't follow along and understand. But you know what? That's why they do this for a living, and – we just kind of bang around and have fun.
Yeah. And most importantly, we're going to be out
on
the strip this weekend.
I can't wait.
Shout out to the Denny Hamlin Foundation.
Yep, absolutely.
Taking care of us. And we'll be there for a fundraiser. And can't say enough thanks.
Yeah, we'll be at Westgate on Friday and Saturday. Have fun.
We'll be around Thursday, too.
We'll be around Thursday. We'll probably be around Friday night as well.
We'll send out some cryptic tweets, so you know you can come say hi. That's what Bear will be doing. Bear's in charge of picking the restaurants. He has more experience than
Rayo's Thursday for sure.
Okay.
Because that's kind of been pre-decided.
All right.
I don't know about Friday yet.
Uncle Brent told me about this place at the D on Friday out of Detroit, Iliano's or something like that.
Okay.
So, another
Italian place?
Yeah.
So, back-to-back Italian.
I got no problem with that. I would like some Mexican in the mix somewhere.
It's a good Mexican place at Aria.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like breakfast.
Yeah.
Sweet. yeah, so we're headed out. Mara. All right, that's right. Thanks again, Mara.
Exactly.
For the Denny Hamlin Foundation.
I have to think about it every time as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, I can never get it right.
She's going to hate us. She already does.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the week is here. I'm sorry, I get crushed for this every year because I send out on championship week that championship week's my favorite week because I think the games are better.
Sure.
I think I have more of a side, better opinion on the games. Because also, like, no offense to you, this is the highlight of my week right now is doing this pod on tournament week.
Well, why would I be offended by that? You're saying being with me doing this pod is the highlight of your week.
Yeah, I guess that's
the point. I take that as a compliment.
But to me, the letdown of yesterday is so enormous. Like, you're just wired for games 24/7 from last, I say, Wednesday all the way through. But now, to get my thoughts, you know, we do Van Pelt is on Sunday night, you know, to try and collect, and we're sitting there after the brackets release saying, what's the lead here? You know, usually it's who the hell seeded this tournament. Now, there's also some seeding problems.
I think that was it, the story this year, the whole Michigan State.
At Villanova and Marquette and Kansas and Iowa State. Look at those right. seeds and look at what those
well,
teams did to
what
each
that,
other.
What does that tell you? It tells you that the seeding was done by Saturday afternoon.
You know what it tells me? Researchers and fonts and graphics people are lazy there because they don't want to change stuff. They have it set before that Big Ten time. Just a thought out there. All right, so we have the bracket.
So you're saying we got to move the Big Ten
yes,
championship
I think
up earlier on
I
Sunday?
Think they're I agree. Telling you, I think they're telling you that.
Well, weren't you like secretly hoping that game was going to go to triple overtime?
Yeah, absolutely. Every year I am. Bottom line. So the bracket is set. Now, I know this, you know, we started this pod with Chad back in the day, and we literally went through the whole bracket. I'm always the guy that's going to pick upsets. Like, I want to pick upsets. If I see an upset, I'm going to pick it the round before just to try and get some value there in the points brackets. This year, I can't do it. We'll go through the bracket with some first round things that we like, some trendy underdogs. But we're not going to go game by game here. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go online. There's plenty of guys that Billis did the whole. I watched him do a virtual bracket, hour and 15 minutes. He picked every single game on the touch screen. It was amazing. No one else could do it. It was incredible.
Yeah, whatever he has to say on Cincinnati, Iowa, go with that, because I'm not going to give you anything better than what he's going to give you on that.
The game's in Columbus, I will tell you.
That and Tennessee fans are upset about having to play Cincinnati.
Hey, get there. Get there. Worry about your first game. All right. So
after you basically lost a home game in Nashville against Auburn.
Spending a lot of energy. How good was Saturday?
And it was funny.
You were there.
I was there, and I
did you get breakfast with Dickie V?
I did not get breakfast. We had a lunch and dinner.
Okay. Did he pay?
Of course he did.
Okay.
But I slipped him a card with about 5 minutes to go in that game on Saturday when it was back
inside
and forth. And I literally said, whoever wins this game, this has been back and forth, unbelievable energy, unbelievable play. Whoever wins this game better realize that today was not the SEC championship game, because you can bet you know what. Bruce Pearl and Auburn are waiting tomorrow and are coming to play.
Mm-hmm. Hey, just giving out winners before the games are played.
We say nothing.
You and Dickie V.
It's good to see Bruce, by the way. I haven't seen him in a while.
ISO cams on him is fantastic.
Hopefully
CBS can pick that up for their game.
And I was literally –
because he's in a class of his own.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's a mess. A good mess. I love him. Love the guy.
All right. So we're going to do this. Your favorite bet out of the whole thing. We're going to do picks towards the end. But, like, we're looking at props. Our favorite sheet, we did it last year, was that Westgate prop sheet. You know, conference total wins, team total wins, you know, certain conferences to win the title or not. My favorite bet, I've been betting it for the last 3 weeks when Zion was injured, just because I thought he might not come back with all the politics that were involved. But my favorite bet has actually gone down. I bet it twice at -350 during the regular season, and now it's at -250. The field versus Duke. I'm a Duke fan.
Yep.
I think this is not a good draw. I think they easily – does this sound right? They easily have the toughest road to the Final Four for a one seed.
Absolutely.
Research looked it up. The only time since the number one overall seed has been that since the committee has announced, it's been 16 years. The only time a number one seed has had a four seed in their region that has beaten them the year in that same season was Indiana against the 2012 Kentucky team. You remember on that crazy shot by Indiana that beat them on a Saturday early in the year. I just think it's a tough year. And everybody's going to talk about, well, Zion didn't play against Virginia Tech. Well, Virginia Tech's best player, Robinson, didn't play against Duke. So I really like Virginia Tech out of that side of the bracket. I obviously think Michigan State is Michigan State. So I would pick Michigan State to go to the Final Four out of this bracket.
And LSU doesn't take a backseat athletically to anybody if they're – hey, look, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. No players are suspended. It can come together. They might just be too young and too talented to know or care that they're supposed to fold and be eliminated early.
And Yale saying we're as athletic as anybody, too.
Exactly. Oh, they
are. That's a first round.
Oh, they are. Wow. And how the heck did they nearly blow that game to
Princeton? I was there.
Unbelievable.
I was there. Great comeback.
That was a major cog in a Saturday money line parlay. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are they really going to blow this lead to Princeton and lose?
maybe we'll get a little money line parlay from you.
Not today. I don't think to have. I could maybe do it on the fly here.
All right. We'll piece something together.
Sorry to interrupt you then. But
no.
What is your price on the field versus Duke?
I have -250. Now, I paid -350
two
and a half, 3 weeks ago.
Now, can I offer you some advice?
Sure.
Maybe it's worth you playing the ACC versus the field. It's -110 both ways.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to win both.
I was going to say, that way you either win both, or if Duke wins, you
get a little back. Yeah, no, that's I was going to get to that a little later on my other prop bets, but no, I have ACC. I love the ACC to win the title is minus 110 both ways. So yeah, I was going to jump on that later. I'll give it out right now. I just think watching Duke every single game, every minute this year, I know we get crushed for the coverage, we get it, but people, seriously, he's exceeded my expectations, and I'm as hard of a Duke fan as there is. And that's talking about Zion, obviously. You saw in the ACC tournament what a difference maker he is. I just can't help but see we try and make Duke to be out this great shooting team as they were in two games against Kentucky and Virginia. They're not. And it's going to be even worse in these arenas. The games are not going to be pretty for them offensively. That's what I feel, and that's what I see moving forward. Now, they have the overall athletic ability to put the ball in the basket, which is what they did against Virginia the first time in Cameron when they just kept attacking the rim, which was incredible to watch. But I don't see them winning a title because of the lack of shooting, and I still, as good as Rankovich and Goldwire were in spot fills in that tournament, they're not guys you can rely on. So the field versus Duke, ACC to win the title because I like Carolina and I like Virginia on the other side of bracket to get to the title game. Yeah, you got 2-for-1 there.
Yeah, you're totally right, though, about for the number one overall seed.
Yeah.
So you got Michigan State, who's your 2. LSU is freaky athletically talented at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech now with Robinson at 4 is not going to fear them in your own region. And then on the bottom side of that side of the bracket, you have Gonzaga, who's the only team to beat them when they're at full strength this year.
Yeah.
And Florida State, who isn't scared of them either and should have won the regular season meeting. It's for the number one overall seed. That is not it's not an easy path.
Not a cakewalk. Your best bet, sir.
My best bet is I love it, and I'm usually not the type of guy who's going to run out and lay $5 on a prop.
Whoa.
Yeah. But the Big Ten to win the national championship is a solid no for me, and it opened at 450, and it's been run up to 5, which isn't surprising. I don't think Michigan State, the way the team is constructed right now with the injuries that they've had and the draw, I don't think they can win the national title. And yet Michigan is the other 2 seed that I think they very easily could lose to Nevada or Florida in the second round. Purdue isn't a title threat in my book. Wisconsin's not a title threat. None of those teams are title threats in my book, so I would lay that $5 with confidence and know that you're basically getting a 2-week little, you bet 500 to win 100, and what, 20% kind of,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're the math guy. Why not? All right. That is very unlike you, so that is pretty eye-opening for me to hear coming from you, my man. Okay, I mentioned why the bracket is not as attractive to me this year when I'm, filling, the teams out. And this gets me to my next favorite bet of the tournament, and that is, just pay attention here, okay, the total number of seeds, all right, adding up in the final four. The over-under is 11.5. So obviously, what is it now? 6 years in a row we've had a
6 years in a row we've had a 7 seed or lower.
Okay.
In the final four.
Okay. So that obviously went over.
And 2 straight years, we've had exactly 2 number one seeds. And since 2010, we've had 12 number one seeds reach the final four and 8 number one seeds lose in the second round. So in 35 of 40 years since seeding, we've had 0, 1, or 2 number ones at the final four. Only 5 times in 40 years have we had more than 2.
Mm-hmm. So, okay,
for your math purposes, there.
This is pretty simple to me. It's so top heavy to me. I don't see anything lower than a 2 seed going to the final four.
Really,
I really don't. Michigan, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how he does it. He does it every year. You watch them; they don't blow you away. Like, they have to be the most boring team to watch in pregame, like layups, like. They don't have any guys that are like throwing alley-oops to each other, just knocking down shots, probably working on ball handling, But they, they spread you out. They get there. Last year, they hit the unbelievable shot against Houston.
The bracket opened up for them a little bit.
Yep. And, you got Gonzaga. I love Chris Beard. He's probably my favorite coach of college basketball. They got a brutal stretch ahead of them. Now, we had him on the show the other night. I thought it was really cool because he talked about, you know, a couple of years ago, he was Little Rock and went and beat Purdue. Yep. You know, now mm-hmm. he said they celebrated, they watched the drawing, and they went back in the room, just players and coaches, and he told the story about what he told his team when he was Little Rock going up against the big boys. So I just, they got a lot of stuff in front of them, and they're not trustworthy enough to me offensively. But I'm rooting for him, man. Like the story's awesome. I mean, who the heck takes the job at Las Vegas and says, no, I'm going to Lubbock?
Yeah, Lubbock, Texas.
That's an original kind of guy. Yeah. I mentioned I don't like Duke. I like Michigan State there. Even if you get the 4 seed or the 3, you still have some room to play with. The one that's hardest for me is Kentucky or Carolina. That's the game that's amazing. And the one thing I wanted going into the tournament was Tennessee and Virginia to be in the Final Four. That cannot happen. I think those are the two best stories in the sport this year, and it's a shame. I just want Virginia because no one could have handled what happened last year better than Tony Bennett in that loss to UMBC. I do like Virginia there. I think Tennessee has a tougher road than people think, but I don't see it. I think the 3s and the 4s are pretty below average over there.
I actually like
the 7s and the 10s better. I think those are tougher games for the 2s on that side. So when I add this up, I got, what do I have? I have a 2, a 2, a 1, and a 1. So
that's 6.
Yeah. You either have I was looking at Va Tech, maybe that's the upset bracket I pick.
That gives you room where if you get a 4, you're still.
You know, but I already have a 2 there. And then I have, if it's not Carolina winning it, I think I have Kentucky. So that's the difference of 1 there, too.
That's the one region where I think, in your pools out there, you don't want to pick all the 1s versus 2s in the Elite Eight. It's never happened where you've had all 4 regional finals be 1 versus 2, and I don't think it's going to start. But that's the one region that I think ultimately you will get number 1 Carolina, number 2 Kentucky. I'm going to skip ahead and give a little bit of a – I like both of those teams over the win. Both of their individual win totals are 2.5. For the tournament, Kentucky's 2.5, North Carolina's 2.5. I would be shocked. I mean, I shouldn't say shocked, but I would be extremely surprised if we were not looking in a couple weeks and seeing Kentucky and North Carolina playing in the Elite Eight.
That's your best bet for an Elite Eight matchup, right? Out of any bracket,
Utah State or Washington is not beating North Carolina. Wofford and Seton Hall. I guess Seton Hall could get hot, but I don't think so. But you hit on it before. The 3s and the 4s on that side of the bracket are super weak. And I think the Iowa State is a 6 is very beatable as well. I don't see it on that side. I think 1 versus 2 in the Midwest is where you're ultimately going to come. So 2 individual team totals there. Kentucky over 2.5. I think it's like plus 110 on Kentucky. In Carolina, I think it's like minus 160 or 180. So two teams that definitely aren't going to lose in the first round and shouldn't lose in the second round and then have a very favorable Sweet 16.
So you like my under 11.5 too?
See, that's where I'm struggling.
Okay.
Because
so you've got a bomb here that you're like Final Four. That's what you're telling me.
I do. And Hold on.
You don't like Virginia.
Well, look at it this way. The last 5 years, the Final Four team to emerge from Virginia's region has been a 7 seed or lower every single time. I mean, who would have thought last year that Loyola would come into that region? Or a few years back, or Michigan State would have come out as a 10 seed, I think they were the 1 year 7 seed. South Carolina came out of one of the regions as a low seed. UConn, the year they won the title, where it was a 7 seed, came out. Every year, 7 seed or lower has emerged from Virginia's bracket the last 5 years to the Final Four.
Look at you. Your numbers in history.
That's what I do.
All right. So you're not with me on that.
No, I think you're
you want to save that?
I can save it right and give it now. Yeah, but I think there is a chance there. And because the 3s and the 4s are weak, I think that's why you potentially could get a 6 or a 7 or an 8 or a 10. Hmm. Like, you look at the West. I don't know who's going to win Nevada, Florida. But I think the winner of that game could certainly beat Michigan. And I certainly think the winner of that game could potentially beat Texas Tech or Buffalo or Arizona State or whoever gets through. And would either of those teams fear Gonzaga? I don't think so. Would Florida State is a four seed. They annihilated Gonzaga last year in the tournament or to the Elite Eight. Why wouldn't Florida State, who has lost twice in the last 7 weeks to North Carolina and Duke, why I'll give you I'll segue into one of my Florida State at 6-1 to win that region. I think it's a great bet.
Yeah.
And they may not Leonard. Do it. Florida State could either they're like the greatest variance team in this tournament.
On every year.
They will either lose to Vermont.
That's what I think.
Or they could go to the Final Four. And that goes with the number. What is it? I think Florida State's last 15 NCAA tournament games, the underdog is 14-1 against the number.
You had it.
And 111 outright. That's what the Noles are.
That's sickening.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
So we're taking Vermont.
You could probably
plus
take
the point.
It's in Hartford. Take Vermont plus the points. Florida's. Right. Well, you take Vermont plus the points. Scare
old
Florida.
Tommy B down there getting the crowd going.
That's
going
to be the. That's what I'm most disappointed about this weekend.
You're not going to be there.
They're playing there, and we're going to be out there, and hey, we're not going to get to see my man.
We're going
to
have more fun.
We will.
I promise you. All right. So you're not with me on that.
I'm not with you.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily play the other side, but I'd be very hesitant.
You want to take my? You'd sit on my action there. You would. You would. I got that feeling.
And it's a good thing about the one seed prop too. The one seed prop at Westgate over under number one seeds at the Final Four is 1.5 minus 190. That seems like that screams obvious. Oh, there'll be at least two number one seeds there. That is the ultimate. Like red flags, sirens going off, stay away. That they're basically saying, oh, go ahead. If the two number one seeds are there, you'll win. Go ahead and take it. That screams stay away.
All right. Bear, not on the chalk. Give me a conference number, total wins that you love, over or under.
Big East is 3.5, and okay. The under is, I think, minus 140. I think if you look at the teams in the Big East.
Yes, you're right. Under 140.
Marquette, St. John's, Seton Hall, and Villanova. There is a chance zero is the number.
Mm.
I think Marquette, with Howard being injured against Murray State, they very easily could lose that game and probably wouldn't win their second-round game against Florida State as long as the Noles survive Murray State.
Mm-hmm.
I on Daily Wager on Monday night, I gave out Arizona State against St. John's.
You did.
I think Arizona State will beat St. John's, so I think they'll be out. Seton Hall, Wofford is a toss-up type game.
I can't wait to
watch that's
that
an interesting game. I initially thought Wofford was going to be a very trendy pick there, but it seems like Seton Hall has gotten a majority of the early money. I think the Pirates could win that game, but I don't think they're going to beat Kentucky in the next round. And then Villanova, a buddy of mine who's really good with numbers, sent me a couple of bits of information yesterday, and St. Mary's really defends the three well, and Villanova is a team that was reliant on the three. And if they play the three as well as they did against Gonzaga, they got a great score as well in what Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
St. Mary's could potentially pull that upset there. I mean, there is a chance the Big East, the number might be zero wins.
That game scares me because I watched St. Mary's a lot this year. I think they stink.
I wanted to fade St. Mary's every which way possible. I even texted my buddy during the game, I'm like, I can't wait to bet against this team next week. And here they are with a matchup that is kind of favorable for them.
Yeah, because of the style that Villanova plays, the slowdown, you know, work the offense. You know, you mentioned relying on the threes. I just think Villanova is so much better defensively than anything St. Mary's has seen besides Gonzaga. Like, look at the – I know they beat them, and Gonzaga scored 47 points in the West Coast Conference final, okay? Look at the other two scores.
Oh, the first game was a complete –
90-40.
The first game was a complete annihilation. The second game got totally out of hand.
You know,
in the second
half. And it's, what freaks me out even more is people that I really respect that cover the sport and, you know, wager on the sport half are on one side and half are on the other, and they really like the side that they're on. And that just, like, blows my – when I hear that stuff, like, I'm just like, get me as far away from this game as – and that's – see, I don't know. I don't know how – like, this is easy for me because I know when I'm out in Vegas for this game, I'm not betting this game.
Right.
And it just feels like, oh, I don't know, maybe it's the friends that I have. The friends that I have, they're just, we got to take somebody. Nope, we don't.
No, you don't. They're 32 first-round games, and they're a million props and halftime – first half under, by the way. Can't wait.
Oh, God.
I forgot
people
to.
People are already.
I
asking.
Forgot to write down what we were last year in the first. I think it was something like 25-7. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think every single early session game won first half under, if I remember. Empty arenas, clank, bad shooting lines.
Just hear the ball hit
unfamiliar.
The rim.
As we head to the under 12 timeout, it's 7-5 Texas A&M.
All right, so you're under Big East. Let's get more of yours and my favorite conferences, and we'll go through the bracket right after this. All right, Bear, let's continue with yours. You mentioned your favorite is no Big Ten team will win the title, minus 500. The Big Ten total is for wins is 10.
10 and a half, I see.
10 and a half. Yep. Okay, 10 and a half. I would imagine you're not thinking.
Yeah, I'd go under.
Okay.
In this one as well. I don't like a lot of these first round matchups. Iowa is a dog against Cincinnati. Maryland, we don't know their opponent yet, right? They play the
Belmont.
Yeah, Belmont Temple.
We'll touch on Maryland a little bit later.
So they very easily could lose that game. I already said Michigan is a 2-seed. I thought could get bounced in the second round. Michigan State, I don't think, will lose in the second round, but I think they potentially could have a tough Sweet 16 game.
Mm.
Minnesota's a big dog against Louisville. Ohio State, I actually like a little bit against
Iowa. I heard you last night on the tournament.
I mean, how many times do you hear the team that really should know they shouldn't be in there? How are they in with Wesson back? They're a completely different team. And Iowa State, prior to the run of the Big 12 tournament, they really struggled down the stretch.
Yeah.
And I think Iowa State's going to pick up some momentum. Oh, look at that. They got hot in the Big 12, and they beat Kansas and blew them out, and they're back now. Be careful there. I like Ohio State in that game.
I can't stand how the Ohio State narrative never included Wesson out of those games they lost down the stretch. That really bothered me. And I think he's as good of a coach as we have in the country. And they scare the heck out of me in that first game against Iowa State. Because you mentioned – and I always fall in love with the Big 12 team. I just love that tournament and the motion that is in that building all the time. It's mainly because of Kansas and Iowa State being involved and being so close.
What is it, 7 straight years now either Kansas or Iowa State has won that, I think it is?
I know Iowa State's 4 out of 6, I think. I'd be wary. Buckeyes, I like that spot they're in right there. So getting back to that.
I think Purdue's the weakest of the 3 seeds.
That team.
I don't know how
they do you think Carson
How are they a 3 seed?
Do you think he could turn it around? Or do you, like
no.
You like he just he's had just, a bad like I, is there he, a switch there?
He's just going to continue to try and shoot himself out of it. That's what he is.
Cuz his good is really good is, really really good and it's I haven't seen it in a while.
But I don't know how they're a 3 seed and Florida State's a 4 seed. That to me is astounding.
Well, yeah. Those lazy graphics people at CBS.
And then Wisconsin, Oregon, which is another one. I'm still waiting to hear someone pick Wisconsin.
You'll hear it at the end of this podcast.
Yes, even though it's funny, though, with Oregon, I went back and looked. There have been six times, the conference, Power 5 AQ conference has gotten a double-digit seed, so basically a team that wasn't going to get in until 4 times it's been in the Pac-12. All 4 times, the Pac-12 team that's the AQ, the double-digit seed, won its first-round game. Twice they got to the 16.
So do
these teams that don't necessarily belong at the start, then get hot, win the Pac-12 tournament, and get in, they've carried it on and won some games in the tournament each time.
Conference of Champions. Don't forget it, people. All right, let's go move on down here. Let's go a little quicker through these. Pac-12, you just mentioned them. Over-under's 1.5. You got 3 teams in. What amount of money could you have gotten the day Washington won the Pac-12 for Pac-12 teams in the NCAA tournament. Like, if you said three that day, you would have got a lot of money.
That's what I thought it would be. And I thought Washington.
You did.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Arizona State was going to get him. I thought they'd get it.
Well, I'm saying when Washington, they clinched 2 weeks before this regular season ended.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That was a one big league that day.
Correct. Yeah, I don't think anybody thought at that point.
Because Arizona State had
They lost Washington State on their home court by 20.
Yeah, but this was after that because Washington.
Oh, they went to Eugene and got blown out
the night before they played at Stanford. But anyway, it's 3.5. Obviously, you picked Arizona State in the play-in game. I don't care if they call it from the 4-4.
It's the play-in
or whatever.
Game.
It's the play-in game. Who's the other? Oh, Washington
is Utah State. Small dog.
Washington, they got some good numbers on them.
I like UW in that game.
I'll give you at the end of their defense that guys in the research department get me on these metric numbers for Daily Wager.
Very nice.
But I need an explanation. I can't just throw numbers. I'm a words guy. I need a quick explanation. So I have that at the end of the podcast, I promise you. And who's our other team? Oh, the Ducks.
Yep.
God, they got to be as public a double-edged dog as there is.
Oh,
I mean, Utah's not it.
The world.
So 1.5, what do you think?
I would go over.
You would?
I would. I think Washington wins. And
you
I think,
do?
I do. I think that number is a little bit of an overreaction to the fact that they looked so bad at the end of the year. And you hit on it before. They clinched so early.
Yeah.
That might have affected them how they play. Seeing that defensive scheme. The Merrill kid's a good player for Utah State.
Yep.
But that's a weak conference. I think defensively, not seeing that zone and what Hopkins can do.
Good point.
I think that's going to affect you. I actually like UW in this game. And then if you can get either Arizona State or Oregon, you're good.
All right, I'm going to give you those numbers for Washington right now. Their block rate, are you good on the block rate?
I'm not good on the block rate. Can you combine the block rate?
Block
and the
rate is the percentage of an opponent's two-point attempts that a team blocks. Yep.
I knew what it was.
Washington blocks one out of every six shots opponents takes from inside the 3-point.
That's very good.
You know? Steal percentage. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Washington's steal percentage is 13.4%. This is basically saying Washington forces a turnover on one of every four possessions Utah State will have the ball. Utah State has not faced anything like that in the Mountain West.
No.
Nothing. So it might not be pretty. But if that line keeps going up, I think it's at 3.5.
I saw 3.5 is the last time I saw.
Right? So I would lean. I mean, Washington's going to come out like a ball of fire, I think. And that's going to be a really good game. So I'm too biased here, Bear. I'm too biased because I want to say over so bad. But like last year, I loved Arizona State in that Syracuse game.
I killed on the over last year, too.
And Arizona State just let me down. So I think it rides on Arizona State tomorrow night because obviously you get another chance with them. I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under on that one. Okay. Smaller guys. OVC, you got Belmont Temple tonight. And Murray against Marquette in Hartford, which is my favorite first-round matchup by far. The over-under OVC wins 1.5. I like the over.
You do?
Yeah. I think they both win their first game. I think Belmont's going to Sweet 16.
They very easily could. Every year since we've reinstated the first four games, we've had a team from that last four in that has won first-round game, gotten to the second round, and a couple of them got to the 16, including Syracuse last year.
I watched so much basketball during champ. We get started with that Thursday before it'll be Ohio Valley.
It'll be big if Buzinski's back.
He's back. He's good.
He's good.
He's good. He's fresh. He's a freshman of the year in a conference. He had 20 against Murray the first time they played.
And I'm glad.
He didn't play in the title game against Murray.
I am glad. I didn't hear anything about the committee.
Kid's a stud.
Saying that was a factor.
No.
But I am glad that they put them in.
Yeah.
And hopefully they were watching. And that came up in the course of the conversation saying that a 6'11 freshman who's a great player who somehow was at Belmont didn't play, big factor in the game.
Yep.
With him, they probably would have won the game. And they still put him in. Good for doing that.
What I love about teams like Belmont and teams like Wofford, that you watch all this ball during championship week, They come down and they run something every single time. And with these kids nowadays, they're just not, they don't have that discipline to detail where they got to guard for 30 seconds every time down the court. And those teams make you do that. And that's why I like those teams in this spot. And that's why I wanted a team like Belmont in the tournament. That's why I wanted Wofford in the tournament. I wanted Lipscomb in the tournament. Obviously, they didn't get there.
And what Greensboro would have been in the tournament had Oregon not won the Pac-12.
Correct.
They were the team that got bumped.
So that's why I like those teams in this spot. I'll go over OVC. WCC, you touched on Gonzaga. St. Mary's. Are you leaning St. Mary's?
Yeah. And
do you like the points or do you think they can win?
I think they can win outright.
Okay.
And the conference total is 3.5 wins.
It is.
Now, if you're worried about Gonzaga potentially losing to Florida State and not reaching the Elite Eight,
yep,
wouldn't it be better just to play St. Mary's on the money line against Villanova? You're going to get a much better price than -120 over 3.5 for the conference. And then if St. Mary's does lose, I mean, you could money line Gonzaga if you wanted.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If you were telling me I can play West Coast Conference over 3.5 -120, or just take St. Mary's in the money line against Villanova, I might take St. Mary's in the money line against Villanova because I think there is a real chance Gonzaga loses to Florida State.
Do you have odds on St. Mary's to the Sweet 16? Do we have those for
I
every team?
I do not. I don't have them for every team. I have a bunch of them from Jay at Westgate Superbook. I don't see St. Mary's on here. Maybe the app has them.
Bet them all.
I'm giving a shameless plug for
Westgate
Superbook app right now.
If you like the over, bet that. Bet St. Mary's money line and bet them to go to the Sweet 16 because they play the winner of Purdue Old Dominion. That's a winnable game.
Totally.
So there you go. Just keep betting big dogs. Screw it.
We love big dogs.
ACC to win the title. I already touched on that. -110. Mountain West.
No St. Mary's to make the Sweet 16.
Ooh. See, they're telling you. They're not even offering it because it's a winner.
Yeah, I saw a prop.
They're gonna get smoked.
I saw a prop somewhere. It's funny. Well, here's each of the last 5 years we've had an 11 seed make the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's my Belmont. Right?
Yep. Sure. One of the play-in winners. Where you got St. Mary's? Where you got Ohio State?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a I don't think there's a win. Is there a win total by 11 seeds anywhere?
I didn't see that.
I'm sure there is.
Mountain West.
I would guess on Pinnacle or Crest somewhere offshore they probably have it.
You could find it. Mountain West, 1.5. You got everybody's darling from last year, Nevada, and you got Utah State, who we just touched on. I don't like it. I think you get one. I don't like Nevada's matchup. I gave out Florida on Daily Wager yesterday.
You did.
I just think Florida is not going to be wowed 1 second. They have athleticism to play with that, guys. Caroline is injured.
He's good to go.
He's going to play, but how healthy is he going to be, man? He's so valuable to them.
And they are not a deep team. How much in the tank do they have left?
How much can they muster up, man? And listen, I love Muss and that staff more than anything. And they're as good of a story as we've had in the sport the last couple of seasons. That's a tough, tough matchup, man. It really, really is. Because Florida's, I mean, you talk about the other side, Mike White is buttoned up as there is. He's always so perfect dressed on the sideline. Everything's nice and tight. God.
And they get good shots, and they defend, and the young kids have gotten a heck of a lot better. If they play the way...
And they defend a three.
If they play the way they did against LSU and Auburn in the SEC tournament... That's why it's funny. You were talking about this before, about picking. If you like an upset, I'm going to pick it the round before.
Yeah.
Whomever you think is going to win Nevada, Florida, I would pick them in the second round against Michigan and move them through to the Sweet 16.
Okay. I just can't pick against Beeline. I'm sorry. Guy's like my nemesis. So I just.
Hey, they were good. They were good to me last year. I had a nice future on them to win the national championship. So there I was.
Bingo.
On title game Monday night, was able to hedge that off and make a nice little profit.
All right, let's get to the bracket. I'm looking at this. I filled one out as soon as it was released, and I think I'm going to stick with a couple of these. The bracket I would go with the upsets, I have Murray and Vermont in the Sweet. No, I have Vermont in the Sweet 16. I have both those teams winning their first round games. I don't think those are as trendy as other people. Obviously, I like Irvine just because I've watched him a ton this year.
Kansas State really
struggles with to score. I know Irvine's a defensive team too, and usually the power five athleticism against smaller conference. But I don't know, that game's like,
it's in San Jose.
It's like 11 a.m. local too,
and Irvine is a deep team. Cartwright, the transfer from Stanford, is one of their guards.
Little man.
They got Worko, I think his name is back healthy from an injury. They are deep. They rebound. They defend, and they're confident. They're talking in the paper like, we might just win the game easily. It wouldn't really be an upset. And again, if you go back and look, there have been five instances where you've had a four seed favored by 6 points or fewer over a 13 seed. Those five 13 seeds are 4-1 against the number with three outright wins. It very easily could have been another outright win with Valparaiso against Maryland a couple of years ago. The number is small for a reason, because they know there's not that big of a difference. They played last year in Manhattan,
yeah,
and it was a 9-point game in the second half, and then it got out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
This Irvine team is 125 spots better an offensive rating, offensive efficiency, than they were a year ago. This is a much better offensive team, a deeper team, a better defensive team. I think they have not only a great shot at beating Kansas State, I think they got a great shot at getting to the 16.
Woo! Somebody did their homework. I think every 13 seed, Irvine, Northeastern, Vermont, and St. Louis. St. Louis,
I could see that.
A ton.
St. Louis getting like 11 against Virginia Tech, right? 10.5, 11?
Uh-huh. I'm going to go on a look.
And the CAA, the Colonial teams, they play first-round opponents really, really tough.
Yeah, they're...
Colonial has played teams tough in the first
heck
round.
Yeah.
You go back 18 of the last 22 games. First, I tweeted this. That's why I pulled it up to make sure I had it right.
@ChrisFalika on Twitter.
18 of the last 22 first-round games involving Colonial teams have ended either with CAA team winning or a single-digit loss, with 14 by 5 points or fewer. It's a good league, and Kansas is a four seed, but the Kansas team that did like the body of work, that had all those good wins early on without Vic and without Azubuike, this is a completely different team. And I'd give Northeastern, they're a little trendy, but
you think?
Northeastern's taking some money, Yale's taking some money, Irvine's taking some money that I've read. I still like Irvine.
Yeah.
But I still would lean towards taking Northeastern here.
All right. Let's get to some value. This is where I struggle because I'm not a big value guy.
Sure you are.
But a good number to win your region. Let's go top left. The East. Duke's a 1. Sparty's a 2. LSU 3. Vatek 4. What do you think here?
I hit on it earlier with LSU at 12-1. Again,
okay.
Who knows what's ultimately going to wind up happening?
Steve Fisher, Michigan, remember?
Correct. Something like that. These kids could come together and feel slighted, and maybe they're playing for Will Wade. Who knows? And the way they kind of gave that Florida game away, maybe they bounce back. Maybe they make a run athletically. They're not going to take a back seat to Michigan State or Duke with Waters and Naz Reid, who is a freaking grown man. They got players.
Sure.
And they could certainly get hot and win 4 games. 12-1 is a good number.
All right. I like Virginia Tech. They're not going to be scared of anything. They already beat Duke, and I think they got the goods to do it. Blackshear and Robinson are as good a 1-2 punch as there are in that region. And my other one would be Belmont. I just think as a team, Windler is unbelievable as a player, and Rick Byrd is as good a coach as there is. The bottom part is, you don't have to worry about playing Louisville and Sparty. You just got to play one of those. And maybe LSU from athleticism gets knocked off. But Belmont's as solid as there is, man. So value aspect, that's what I would do. All right, West.
I gave Florida State out already
you
and
did.
Gave the reasons why they're 6-1 to win the region. So I don't think I need to repeat any of that information.
Cuse.
Sure, why not?
Love them. I love Syracuse might be my favorite first-round pick. We'll touch on those in a bit.
Yeah, there's a good note about that I tweeted out about Scott Drew at Baylor versus single-digit seeds, how it's typically not.
Let me guess, not good.
Typically, they do not beat single-digit seeds.
All right.
Maybe this will be different.
All right.
It's an 8-9 game.
South, Virginia's the one. Tennessee's the two. Oh, yeah, this is your bracket. Go ahead. Big Kerm.
Absolutely. give me some Ole Miss at 60-1 to win this region. This is a team that lost a bunch of close games this year. They got a really good backcourt. I think they could create enough tempo if need be. If they were to now look, they could lose to Oklahoma very easily. But I think if they were to beat Oklahoma, I think Virginia is rooting for Oklahoma. I don't think they want to play Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss can. The people I think are just walking Virginia through to the 16 or the 8. That is, Ole Miss is an extremely dangerous second round opponent with those guards. You throw Kermit Davis in there. The East pulled a big upset before with Middle against Michigan State. I'd love to see what type of defense he throws. Look, Virginia, when I'm watching them, they're like playing 3-on-5 offensively every time. I don't know.
I think they're playing mental games with people.
I could be totally wrong, but again, this is the Virginia region has been the chaos region the last 5 years. I think this team has scar tissue on it. I don't think that Florida State loss, the way they looked and the way Florida State annihilated them last week, is going to do them any favors mentally.
Okay.
Buyer beware. I know the numbers and the metrics. Oh, Virginia's in the top five and offense and defense, and they've only lost to Duke and Florida State. I'd be careful. I think Ole Miss could be a very and we've had low SEC teams make runs before. South Carolina was a 7. Kentucky was an 8-1 year. Florida was a 7-1 year. They played the 7-10 South Carolina. I think South Carolina was a 10, right? And Florida was a 7. I think I got that flip. But we've had SEC teams that were afterthoughts that have made runs. Who would have thought Loyola would get to the Final Four last year? We've had teams that before the year, but like right now, like who would have last year? Would Loyola? I'm going with them in the Final Four. They're gonna beat whomever else. No one would have.
No.
That's what this is like. This is how you win these bracket pools. You got to take a stand, take a chance, and try and go a little contrarian in some spots. And Ole Miss at 60-1, I think it's worth a few bucks.
Ride the Lightning. I called him Bracket Bear yesterday on Daily Wager. We're going Bracket Bear all week. We've seen him in Vegas. Call him Bracket Bear. all right, and then what would I do there? Give me Cincinnati.
Okay.
Little Mick. Feisty.
Okay.
Going to play in Columbus first two rounds.
Sure.
That would be my value play. All right, and then the Midwest. Man, we both love Kentucky and Carolina. We mentioned the 2.5 wins. Auburn?
You know what you're going to get with Auburn. I know a lot of people like New Mexico State in that game, and historically the Aggies have not done well when it comes to tournament. But we know you know what you're going to get with Auburn. They're going to take 30 to 35 threes. If they hit 14 or 15, they're going to win. If they don't, now, again, they were hot on Sunday. Now you go to altitude against a deep New Mexico State team. Who knows? But, again, we both like North Carolina.
Yep.
We both like Kentucky. If I can get Kentucky a plus 300 to win this region right now, if they were to play North Carolina in the Elite Eight, they're not going to be plus 300 on the money line against the Tar Heels. So I would just take Kentucky right now, plus 300, see where you're at when if Kentucky and Carolina were to play and figure it out then.
Okay. All right. Very well. Let's get to some first round picks we like. We gave a couple out on Daily Wager. I gave out Florida already on that show. I'll be giving out Irvine, whatever that is, plus the points.
I think it's down to 4.5 now.
Ooh, that's getting dicey.
No, five. It's five. It's five.
Whatever. I can't get it yet. Whatever North Carolina's team total is, give me that. I'm sorry, Iona, but you play no defense.
120 is very possible.
And you have not seen anything like North Carolina. So that's going to go up. I mentioned, I think, Vermont and Murray face in the second round, so I would take a shot with them, plus the points. I really, really hope Marcus Howard is close to 100% because him against Ja is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, say what you want about Murray, they ain't backing down. That's going to be fun. That's easily my most entertaining matchup to watch. Your first round matchups.
Now, I don't know. The game may have tipped already. I don't know if it has, but I'm going to give you an NIT special selection here.
Jesus.
I wouldn't be interested in laying it 9 points with NC State at all in this first game. Now, maybe we're listening to this and they've won and they've blown out Hofstra, but they were the most vocal of the snubs.
Obviously.
And this is a team that lost on their home court against Georgia Tech, allowing a length of the floor slam dunk in the final second in a game that they had to have to lose to a bad Georgia Tech team. They win that game, they're probably in. This has all the makings of the team that wants no part of being there. They feel like they should be somewhere else. And Hofstra's a 9.5-point dog.
Yep.
And 350 or 375 on the money line. I'd take Hofstra for a unit and maybe money line them for a half.
Here's my thoughts on the NIT. If you take a favorite, you're an effing idiot. I'm not even kidding one second. And if you take a dog, money line them. That's all I got to say about the NIT. I've done it way too long. It's one of my favorite things in the world. But if you take a favorite, you're an absolute idiot.
We're rooting for Providence to rip off 5 wins.
Okay.
Or Colorado.
Or Colorado. Okay.
That's who we're rooting for.
Keep that in the back of your thoughts, people.
But I got to give you some.
I mean, obviously the money's there, and you know, we have the money, the bets and the money, you know, the percentages and all that stuff. In your mind, do you feel Oregon's the trendiest double-digit dog to win?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, not even close.
Who would you say second?
Of the double digits?
Yeah.
New Mexico State.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't heard a lot of people pick Wofford.
Yeah, I haven't. That's what I was saying earlier. I thought that they were going to be the buzz, trendy, Wofford's a 7 seed. They'll win. I haven't heard much about that game at all. And the early money percentages is Seton Hall, which might be, I don't know. Yeah, but you know how people love the 5-12s.
How does Mississippi State get a 5?
I was going to say, I'm glad you said I'm glad you said that, because the 1-12 seed that I haven't heard people talk about is Liberty.
Richard McKinney, how do they get a 12? Come on.
They're pretty good.
They're
12 seed good, I don't know. But they're getting 7.5 points against a team that shouldn't be a 5 seed.
Exactly. They're both overseeded.
Yes.
Yikes.
But of all those 5-12 matchups, that's the one where I haven't heard boo about the dog. I've heard a lot of Marquette Murray State. Obviously, I heard a ton of Oregon, Wisconsin. Heard a ton of New Mexico. Liberty is the one 5-12 game that's kind of gone by the wayside. Remember, last year, all the 5s won. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. What else you got for me?
It's
better chance at the Final Four, Sparty or Michigan? I say Sparty.
Sparty.
Yeah.
Sparty, because they're...
Imagine if they played again. Seriously.
I wouldn't enjoy that. I'd be shaking like this on Monday night, rooting for that. Imagine if I'm sitting there on Monday night and I got to root for Virginia against Michigan State in order to avoid divorce papers being filed.
That would be great.
What else? I gave it Arizona State. I like ASU against St. John's. They haven't played a lick of defense in the last month, and I think after losing in the play-in game last year, I think they'll bounce back and win.
2 seed that goes the farthest, I would take Kentucky.
Yes. good chance Kentucky is the only two seed. Tennessee, I think, should get to the eight. I think Kentucky and Tennessee should both get to the eight.
You're going to have to kill Tennessee 9 times to beat them.
Yeah.
They just, I mean,
that was a great comeback on Saturday. Down 8 with 2:50 to go, I think it was. Come back and win.
I'm really rooting for that, man.
Kentucky was, like, stunned, like, after the game. Like, how did we blow that game?
Yeah. I don't know. If it's Tennessee, Virginia to go to the Final Four, man, that's going to be as tough a game to watch a losing team as I've ever watched. Because I want those teams so bad to go to the Final Four. Such good runs they've had.
So, St. Mary's, I take St. Mary's plus the 5.
Okay.
Against Villanova. As much as I want to take Vermont, I won't.
How about least likely 5 playing a 4 in the second round?
Least the 5 seed most likely to lose, is that what you're asking?
Or 4 seed. Like, who would you bet on both 4s and 5s winning? Most confident in both 4s and 5s. That's tough.
That's a great prop. I would say probably Miss State and Liberty.
Miss State, VaTech.
I tell you, man. Miss State, VaTech.
Yeah, I think so too. Because
I think either Irvine or Oregon will win.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance Northeastern could win. People like New Mexico State, I don't know. Murray State, Marquette, I have no.
Florida State.
That's a great prop.
Yeah.
I like that.
Might have to bring that up with Reese.
Just say, bring you over.
I've been trying to feed him some stuff lately. You know, it's end of the season. He's getting a little tired.
Other games, first round games that I like. Can't remember what else I've given out here. I'm scrolling down now.
The board.
I like Ole Miss, obviously.
I got one for you.
Here's Arkansas.
3 seed to lose first. Come on, you've been saying it for 2 weeks.
Probably Houston.
Really? More than bottom left?
Yeah, that's the other one. It's funny. It's funny because that's what I said. Someone asked me what 3 seed they liked more, and I said Texas Tech has the potential to get to the 8,
yep.
But they also could lose in the round of 6 in the second round against Buffalo.
Okay,
it's actually a cool note. A note that I gave out, I tweeted out as well.
Just tooting your own
with Texas
horn.
Tech. We do it here. Yeah. There have been 53 teams that have entered the NCAA tournament as a top 3 seed and ranked in the AP top 10 that began the year unranked. Only 2 have reached the Final Four. So basically, it's a lot of numbers. But what it's saying is, if you didn't think a team was a national title contender or ranked before the year, you didn't think they were going to be any good, and all of a sudden they make this run, uh-huh. And they're in the top 10, buyer beware. Teams that are national title contenders typically don't emerge from nowhere.
Gotcha.
Now, Michigan fit the mold last year and made the title game, mm-hmm. before the bracket opened up, got blown out in the final by Villanova.
Yep.
And the one team did win the national title was UConn the year that all hell broke loose,
mm-hmm.
and they got an unbelievable draw. So unless something crazy happens, I'd be surprised if Texas Tech were in the Final Four cutting the nets.
Okay.
More games. I'm sorry. There were more that I like. I liked Ohio State. Gave Ohio State versus Iowa State. Like Ole Miss minus the 1.5. I already mentioned Washington plus the 3.5. Anything else? And Irvine plus the 5. We're good.
All right.
Yeah.
We're good. We got a couple more shows to do.
And if we like any other prop, I'll take a look at some of these other props and see if there's anything out there that I kind of missed.
Any questions? I said we'll touch on this and later in the pod, we didn't get to it, please just shoot me a note on Twitter, at StanfordSteve82, at Chris Felica. We'll be in Vegas. We'll let you know what we're doing. Would love to say hi to as many people as you can. Bears down for as many selfies as you can take. But
man of the people.
Friday morning, definitely Westgate. Cannot wait. That's a definite for us. The other ones, we will be in.
I'll be at Westgate all day Friday, all day Saturday.
One quick one on the way out.
What do you got?
two big things.
Okay.
Just came across.
Uh-oh.
Tate Martell receives waiver from NCAA, has been cleared to play in 2019 at Miami.
That's good. And if
hold that.
I need to comment on before you go.
Right.
And that's good. I had heard
good
that
things.
That was probably going to happen. But I think after Justin Fields got his waiver, basically for not beating out Jake Fromm as a starting quarterback, whether you like the rule or you don't like the rule, I didn't think there was really a case for either of them to be eligible.
Uh-huh.
But once they made Fields eligible, they kind of had no choice. So you just blow the rule up, get rid of it, and move on.
All right.
But that's big for Miami.
It is. And with news today, offshore, I saw 1 point spread. Florida minus 8.5 against the Canes week one.
It sounds about right.
They're going to sell that game out, right?
In beautiful downtown Orlando at Camping World Stadium?
I was there.
I would think so. Or pretty close. I might need
a couple tickets to that game.
I think we can accommodate you. I would wonder now, again, I'm just talking out loud here. I would think there's a really good chance College Game Day might be there.
Really?
Well, I believe the game was moved to kind of kick off the celebration of the 150th anniversary of college football, which is this year. And that is typically the weekend that we do our College Game Day preview show.
Okay.
So I might have to run that up the ladder. How about we do the preview show?
How about we do the podcast from there, too?
On that Saturday?
No, Wednesday.
I don't think we're going to be able to get to Orlando Wednesday to do the pod. I don't think that'll happen.
I can set up a couple things.
All right.
We'll be all right.
See, the biggest dilemma with this now is if my plan comes to fruition, that's Super Contest weekend.
Ooh.
So I'm going to miss going to... I'm going to have to take a trip.
Racket Bear one trip to Vegas.
Might have to go a week earlier to get our preseason stuff in.
All right.
Or 2 weeks earlier.
Shout out to all the guys that have those private setups at sportsbooks. I was looking at one at the D, private little man cave, 4 TVs.
That's nice.
Been sold out since last April.
That's great. That's awesome.
So everybody have some good time. Can't wait to see everybody. And remember, just be careful with the NIT. All right? Be careful.
Be careful with
the sickening disease that NIT.
And be careful with the pig tournament as well.
Yes. All right? Don't bet any money you do not have.
And the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.